Good morning. Welcome to Church of Beach Cities. Today is part two of a series of messages entitled Parenthood. And today's message is very appropriate for the moment because today's Father's Day. And even if you are not a parent, this series applies to you because what we are discovering is that all of these principles apply to all kinds of relationships as we are going to see today. Our main Bible passage today comes from the Gospel of Mark, and we are going to see these three principles that never change in all of our relationships, especially parenting. Because quite honestly, there are many things that do change, especially in our philosophy of parenting. Let me do just a little survey this morning. How many of you are parents? Just raise your hand. Mom or dad? There you go. All right. For those of you who haven't raised your hands, let me tell you something. Isn't true that every time you see a child messing around, you think, if you were my boy, or if you were my girl, that would never happen. Yeah? When we are single, we think, my kids will be organized, obedient, outgoing, smart, athletic, healthy, and you name it, so many qualities. And we think about our future children. How do I know that? Because after getting married, I waited 10 years for my first child, Isabella, who is here today. And she was planned. She was going to be the perfect working model for us on how to be a parent. I even dreamed about writing a book. And the title would be The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Parents. So before she was born, I was in the ministry already for 15 years. I had preached messages about how to be a good parent. I had give many counseling sessions to parents. So when she was born, 10 years after we got married, I found out that my theories didn't work. I'm not saying I'm a failure. You know, I really enjoy my children, and I love them, and they love me. As a matter of fact, yesterday, because of a promise that I did a long ago, I went to San Diego to watch a Switchfoot show. How many Switchfoot fans we have here today? There you go. It was a free show, and that's the only thing I can afford today. So we went to San Diego and stayed on the beach all day long, you know, and to watch a show. It was fantastic. I'm dog tired, but it was a promise, and I love the chance of seeing them having good time watching the show. And what happens is that after Isabella, 3 years after, I said, now I got everything together. I know how to be a dad. And then came Julia. Everything that worked with Isabella didn't work with Julia. She was completely different. So I had to ditch my theories. And I had to work them over again. And that's the way it is. And if you have more than one child in your household, you know what I'm talking about. But today, we are going to look at an encounter that Jesus had with some children. And in this encounter, we are going to find three unchanging principles that apply to all kinds of relationships. So if you haven't done that yet, just pick up your notes inside your bulletin. And we are going to start reading on the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. It says, some people brought their little children to Jesus so he could touch them. But his followers told them to stop. When Jesus saw this, he was upset and said to them, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to people who are like these children. I tell you the truth. You must accept the kingdom of God as if you were a little child, or you will never enter it. Then Jesus took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Just underline the word blessed them. So here's what we are going to be talking about. How to bless your children. Or any person, for that matter. Your goal in life should be to bless people. God wants to bless you so that you become a blessing to other people. And especially if you are a parent, if you are a father, your main goal is to bless your children. How do you do that? You do three things. Number one, in your notes, you give them a loving touch. A touch that communicates such a rich sense of unconditional love and acceptance. Let's go back and review verse 13 of Mark chapter 10. It says, some people brought the little children to Jesus so he could touch them. I underline the word touch in your notes. Just circle that word. So they are bringing their little children to be touched by Jesus. Why is that? Because there is power in a loving touch. And I had this image in my mind about Jesus touching people and healing people. And it was something like this. There was a long, long line of people. And Jesus would lay his hand on their foreheads and say, be healed in the name of the Father, in the name of me, in the name of the Holy Ghost. But I think I was watching too much TV and watching this kind of weird, you know, TV programs. But when the Bible talks about Jesus touching, quite honestly, it was a very different kind of touch. It was embracing. How do I know that? The secret is in the Greek word. By now you think, oh, Pastor Bill is a Greek scholar. Because, you know, he's always teaching us about Greek words. For instance, do you remember when we talked about skubalon? Remember that? I was preaching about Paul saying, I consider everything as skubalon for knowing Christ. Remember that? And just to give you a sense of the power of that word, I said, if I could have a bumper sticker, it would say, skubalon happens. So that's the translation, the literal translation of that word. And last time I preached, I was talking about Jesus' word on the cross when he said, it's finished. And I said, this is just one word, tetelestai. After the service, Pastor Jimmy said, no, it's not tetelestai. It's to tell a lie. To tell a lie. That's the way he rephrased it. But today, I'm going to teach you a new word. It's the word hapsetai. Hapsetai. It means to touch. It means to embrace. Again, I'm not a Greek scholar, folks. There is something called internet. Have you heard about it? Okay, you go on the internet. And you just put Greek interlinear New Testament. It's going to give you everything that is in Greek and the translation in English. And then you click there. It's going to give you all the meanings of that word. So that's so easy to... Now I told you my secrets, you know. So here's the way it happened. Jesus was kicked back, maybe sitting on a rock. And the kids came running up to him. And he would embrace them. It was very relational. Why this loving touch is so important? I heard about a story that may illustrate it. Back in the 13th century, there was a weird king named Frederick II. He did this crazy experiment. He was curious about what language would a child speak if that child was never, ever spoken to from the time of he or she was born. You know, he thought, what kind of language Adam and Eve spoke? Nobody was speaking to them. So what kind of language? Let's learn if it's Hebrew. Maybe it's Greek. Maybe it's Arabic. He was so curious. So he brought some families who allowed him to take their babies, 50 families. And they allowed him to do that. And he brought in 50 ladies to take care of those babies. Those ladies were not allowed to ever speak to those babies. They were allowed to give them a bath, change their diapers, and feed them. Nothing. Don't say a word. They were not allowed to say anything. What happens is that his experiment failed. You can see that in the internet. Failed because in 1 year, within 1 year, all 50 babes died. Why is that? Why did they die? Not because of lacking of physical nourishment, but because of a lack of emotional and relational nourishment. Let's do another survey today. How many of you would say that you are kind of naturally expressive with the touch? You like to hug, you like to kiss, all that kind of stuff. How many of you are that kind of person? I know that some of you, I go to extend my hand and you come like this. You know, I know. But when I came to America, one thing that I learned is that in America, people are very, very careful about their personal space. You know, in Brazil, when you want to call someone, even people that you don't know, you just say, psh, 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 psh. Not here in America. In America, you come and you go in front of, excuse me. You know, in Brazil, you just go and grab them by the shoulder, you know, and you talk to them. And, you know, even if it's a stranger, just give him a hug or her a hug and a kiss, and that will be just fine. In fact, every time we do a mission trip to Brazil, people from the church, they get so excited that, you know, they are being hugged by everybody, they are being kissed by everybody. But that's the way we do in Brazil. But now, how many of you would say, I'm a little bit more reserved, I'm not a kind of huggy, touchy, feely person? How many of you would say like that? All right, I know. For some of you, you are saying, I'm not going to be part of this stupid game. You know, I'm not going there. I just want to say to you that we love you. Don't worry, you know, we are not going to call you to come on the stage, to be hugged, to be kissed, you know. There is something interesting about touching in our culture. Why is that a touch is accepted in sports and not accepted in other situations? For instance, if a guy scores a touchdown in a football game, his teammates pat him on his bottom, but always with a flat hand. Never cupped. But this is another subject. Jesus was a master in touching people. Look at what it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 56. And where he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. All who touched it were healed. I did a little serving in the NIV Bible, translation of the Bible, and the word touch appears 20 times in the Gospels related to Jesus. And every time, every single time, it has to do with healing. Friends, there is power in a loving touch. We as parents, we need to learn the art of loving touch. Here's something that I discovered because I have two daughters at my home. Girls during their preteen years have a great increase for the need of a loving and appropriate touch. But we as dads, we often get weighed down because of their little bodies are becoming woman-like and they get their first breath and our level of comfort often decreases. Not because we don't love them, but because we are just a little uncomfortable. Dads, let me tell you something. It's during that time that their need increases. And we must be fully engaged in loving and appropriate touch. Why? Because that will deter sexual sins in your young girls when they learn to be touched appropriately by a loving and godly father. They will learn to say no to inappropriate touch from an ungodly man. Here's something else I've discovered. Girls are often touched in a loving and appropriate way 5 times as often as boys. And yet, the boys' needs are equal. So here's what usually happens. When boys turn 8, their needs don't change. While they are little, they are kissed, they are hugged. But when they turn 8, they say, Mom, stop that. It's not cool. They don't want you to take them to school anymore. Don't hang them in front of their friends. So you need to be a little bit creative and make sure that you are still engaged. For instance, you need to be creative. Now instead of hugs and kisses, how about secret handshakes? How about pats on the back or pats on the bottom? Remember, hands flat, never cupped, okay? If you are a father, you may say, I'm going to throw you down hard and do some wrestling with them. Be engaged in that kind of touch. Here's the second unchanging principle on parenting or any kind of relationship that we learn from Jesus. Number two, give them an encouraging talk. Jesus was very encouraging in the way he talked. In fact, he would look to a person and he would call that person from a name of what that person could be. Remember that? You know, Simon, he said, from now on, your name is Peter, because, man, you are rock. You rock. Okay? Jesus was encouraging. And here's what he said about these children, Mark chapter 10, verse 14. When Jesus saw this, he was upset and said to them, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to people who are like these children. Jesus lifted them up with words. He didn't say, hey, stop that. Hey, cut that out. Hey, stop touching your brother. Hey, stop hitting back there. Jesus simply blessed them with his words. One of the most important things that we can do for our kids is speak words of life rather than words of death. Be careful with the words you speak. Sometimes we are more characterized by catching them doing something wrong. Always telling them what they aren't or what they could be doing rather than catching them doing something right. We could say, well done, son. Well done, daughter. Man, I'm so proud of you. Oh, you knocked them out of the park today. You were the most amazing of all times. Just speak words of encouragement. But that's a decision that you need to make in your heart to be characterized as someone who speaks encouraging words. Here's something I've also discovered. How many times the Bible says that God spoke directly? If you read through the Bible, you're going to see that sometimes when God speaks, he is speaking through his angel. Not God himself speaking. But there is one occasion when God himself spoke. Was when Jesus was baptized. And here's what the Heavenly Father said about Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And the voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Jesus had just been baptized, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, I'm so proud of you, my son. Let me brag on you. You are on the right track, son. You are knocking it out. You have exceeded my greatest expectations. I want everyone to know that you are mine. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. I think one of the reasons why God allowed these words to be recorded in the gospel that way is that we could have an example. We underestimate the power of our words. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 31 says, words kill, words give life. They are either poison or fruit. You choose. Wow. You and I, we have a choice to make. How are we going to use our talk as parents? Are we going to build up or tear down? Are we going to lift up or put down? We have a choice. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." When was the last time you spoke words of encouragement to your children? Words helpful for building them up. Finally, number three, give them abundant time. You have heard us to say many times, how do you spell the word love? T-I-M-E. Love is time. Look at what Jesus said on verse 14. Mark chapter 10, verse 14, the second part. When Jesus saw this, he was upset and said to them, "Let the little children come to me." People are bringing their little ones to have Jesus touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. Here's one of the few passages that show Jesus upset. I can imagine the reasoning behind the apostles' way of thinking. Maybe they thought, Jesus is too busy, he's too important, he's got dead people to cause to live again. He's got blind eyes to open up. Don't bother him with little children. Here's something interesting. The translation for the word upset is a kind of soft translation of the Greek word. Jesus was not a happy camper. That word was showing that he was really, really upset. Jesus was not happy. How many of you are NASCAR fans? Let me see your hand. Don't be ashamed, okay? I have heard that NASCAR is for what you call redneck. Okay, there you go. All right. So let me. How about Indy? How many of you are fans of Indy? How about Formula One? Okay, Brazilians. There you go. All right, there you go. Okay, a good pit stop on NASCAR lasts about 12 to 15 seconds. Do you believe that they can change tires, put gas in, do an oil change, check the car, clean the windshield, eat a happy meal, shave, do hair, nails, and all that kind of stuff in 15 seconds? I'm just kidding. Well, many parents today do what we call pit stop parenting. It's parenting in 12 to 15 seconds spurts. Kid comes home, and we ask, "How was your day?" Great. Did you do your homework? Great. Did you brush your teeth? Did you wear clean underwear? Great. Don't eat yellow snow and don't have sex until you are married. Good night, sleep tight. I love you. This is pit stop parenting. And if you are a mom, you say to your kids, "Okay, kids, get in the back of the minivan. We gotta go." And they ask, "Mom, what are we going to eat for dinner?" You say, "I don't know. Find a French fries under the seat. We gotta go." And you are driving by and you say, "Look at that. Wave at him. Dad, dad." That's the way sometimes it happens. Maybe I'm exaggerating. But the truth is, we parents, we spend more than 12 seconds, 12 to 15 seconds with our children. In fact, I heard about this study that shows that dads spend about 30 seconds a day. We are so generous. Instead of just 15, 30 seconds a day engaged in meaningful conversation with our children. Now let's talk about the real world. Those of you who are married with kids and both of you are working, that's really challenging. No doubt about it. How about those of you who are single parents? God bless you. Honestly, I don't know how you do it. I have no clue how you could work a job, oftentimes two jobs, get kids to school, have their clothes on the right way, feed them, check their homework, do all this by yourself with no emotional support. God bless you. Whatever your situation might be, just be careful not to come up with an excuse to say, I don't really have time to spend with my kids. There is no valid excuses for not spending time with them. When you say, I don't have time, I respectfully disagree with you. You have time for the things you choose to have time. You may say, I will spend time with my kids, but first I have to get some things done. I have to graduate and get my degree, and then I can make more money, and then I can spend more time with my kids. Or first, I have to work just a little bit extra so I can pay off these credit cards, so I won't be strangling in this debt. Or first, I have to work a little harder, so maybe I will get the promotion at work, but probably around the holidays, I'll be able to spend time, more time with my kids. The reality is, if you don't decide to do it now, you are not likely to do it. You have the time you choose for what you choose to have the time for. One day a reporter asked the evangelist Billy Graham this question. You know who Billy Graham is, right? Billy Graham is the guy who said about me, Billy who? Yeah, there you go. So here's the question they ask him. If you had your life to do all over again, what would you do differently? You know, a guy like Billy Graham, you know, you can guess that he would say, well, I would have done 10 more worldwide crusades to lead tens of thousands of people more to Christ. Or he could answer, I would have opened another institute for pastors and Christian leaders and train them to reach out to the rest of the world. Or I would have written another best-selling book that would have sold millions of copies and impacted millions of people's lives. He didn't say any of this. Here's what he said. I would have spent more time with my kids. It came from Dr. Billy Graham. Listen, your children don't need more stuff. They need you. Time is the most meaningful gift you can give to your children to influence their character. Jesus put together a bunch of men who changed the world. How he did it in about three years. He spent time with them. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. The first goal of Jesus' call was for them to be with him, to spend time with him on a daily basis. For 3 years, Jesus shaped their character and they changed the world. Let me tell you something. You have more than 3 years to shape the character of your children. Parents, you have these fantastic tools and changing principles. Touch, talk, and time. I want to invite you to do a mental picture right now. Just picture you holding a baby in your arms. If you never had that experience in your life, this is one of the most amazing things, when you hold a child for the first time on your arms. So, as you picture this in your mind, I want you to blink. When you open up your eyes, that little baby will be walking across your living room floor. I want you to blink again, because when you open up your eyes, you'll be releasing your child to ride a bicycle without training wheels off down the driveway for the first time. Blink again and you'll see no more a bicycle, but you'll see that that child is driving off in a car, and you will learn to pray like crazy, like you never prayed before in your whole life. I want you to blink again, and when you open up your eyes, that child will be driving off to college or to get married or to start a life on his or her own. If you don't believe me because you think I'm being overdramatic, then blink. Life goes so fast. Here's what the Bible says. James chapter 4, verse 14. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Here's something I want you to do. Go home and practice these principles of touch, talk, and time with someone meaningful to you. If you are a parent, do it with your children. If you are single, do it with your nephews and nieces. If you are a grandparent, do it with your grandchildren. Give them a loving touch. Give them an encouraging talk. And give them abundant time. Only eternity will reveal the impact of your life on their lives. If today's message was something encouraging to you, the first step to do that is to know the one who was a master in doing this, Jesus. We are here because of Him. We follow His teachings. So I invite you today to give your life to Jesus. That's the first step to be a better father, a better mother, to be a better person. You can do that now. So as we pray, I invite you to close your eyes and to make this your prayer. Lord Jesus, today I'm encouraged to be a better person, to be a blessing in the way I touch people, in the way I talk, in the way I give my time to people. And I want to invite you, the better way I know how, I want to invite you to come to my life, to be my Savior, to be the CEO of my life, to direct my steps. I give my life to you. I trust you, Jesus. I know you died on the cross for me. And this is my decision today, my prayer. Now, praying for you parents, God, I want to ask you to bless the fathers of our church. We struggle with so many difficulties, so many problems that we have to deal with. But help us to touch, to give a loving touch, to give an encouraging talk, and to give abundant time to our children. Help us to do that, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.